the takeaway.org. So by 2005, 170 million antidepressant prescriptions were filled. That's an enormous number of prescriptions. And it also means that the manifestations of using those drugs on a regular basis are the kinds of things that are going to possibly have lasting changes in our society. What could those be? Well, joining us now is Helen Fisher, professor of anthropology at Rutgers University, who wants to talk about, first of all, the kinds of mechanisms that antidepressant drugs sort of mess with in our brains, and what sort of consequences socially that could mean for people who have depression or bipolar disorder who are using antidepressants. I mean, one suggestion you posit is that people might have a much more difficult time falling in love if they are on antidepressants, which possibly ignores the fact that if you're depressed, you're not doing really great dating anyway. So first of all, why did you pose this question, and why do antidepressants possibly interfere with our ability to attract and fall in love and, you know, find a mate?
I think the most important thing to remember is that there are some people who really need these antidepressants,
sure.
And I'm not suggesting that they should get off of them. I'm not a medical doctor, but I do study the brain. I mean, there really are people who have medical imbalances, and they need these drugs to get out of bed and to preserve their relationships and to find
sure.
love. And,
and we're not really debating the question of whether they're a good idea
yeah.
or not, but at 170 million prescriptions,
right.
it starts to have anthropological implications.
Well, not only that, but psychiatrists now say that as much as 75% of people who are on these drugs don't really need them.
Hmm.
And that's what the population that I'm talking about. And it's not just all the millions of people in the United States. These drugs have now gone generic, and they're all over the world. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of antidepressants, but the ones I'm particularly concerned about are the SSRIs, so the ones that boost serotonin in the brain.
And possibly inhibit dopamine production.
Yeah, and the medical textbooks basically say that there's a negative correlation between the serotonin and the dopamine systems in the brain. So as you are boosting serotonin, you are suppressing the dopamine circuit. And I and my colleagues have now put 49 people who are madly in love into a brain scanner. And very basic to the experience of falling in love and remaining in love with a partner is elevated activity in the dopamine system of the brain. So as you take these antidepressants and drive up the serotonin, you are suppressing the dopamine system. And we know that, I mean, you know, when you take antidepressants, they blunt the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons people take them. And what is romantic love but an incredible ecstasy, an emotional high? So you can even, and I tell you, I mean, you not only...
put that in a bottle, I guess, and you could be more successful than the antidepressant industry.
Well, I'm sure that... There's cognitive processes
yeah.
to falling in love, too. You don't fall in love with everybody. But long and short is it is a chemical experience, and you are blunting that chemical experience when you take SSRIs.
Part of the question you're posing here is let's have more research on this
Absolutely.
Complicated system of serotonin and dopamine transfer that it basically is involved in a lot of human activity and could even affect people's judgment on a whole range of circumstances.
Yeah. I think we've evolved three distinctly different brain systems for mating and reproduction. One is the sex drive, the second is romantic love, and the third is attachment, that sense of calm and security you can feel for a long-term partner. And when you kill the sex drive, in 73% of people who take SSRIs and boost serotonin, they kill the sex drive. And when you kill the sex drive, you are jeopardizing not only feelings of romantic love, but also feelings of attachment, because if you don't climb in bed with your partner, you don't have an orgasm. And orgasm with orgasm, there's a real
I've
flood.
I've noticed that.
Well, I'm glad a lot of people
right.
have.
Yeah.
When you don't have an orgasm, you are not getting a flood of oxytocin and vasopressin, which is associated with attachment. So you can not only jeopardize feelings of falling in love, but feelings of deep attachment to a long-term partner.
Now, doctors might say kill the sex drive is a little strong for these drugs. Are you going to stick with that, kill the sex drive?
It kills more than the sex drive. Okay, 73% of people have problems with sexual desire, sexual arousal, and erection and orgasm. So it creates dysfunction. You can go off these drugs and have drug holidays, and particularly in drugs that have a short half-life. But long and short of it is there's a great deal of evidence that it, I'll step away from kills, but it certainly
right,
jeopardizes
right,
it
right,
dramatically.
Right.
And, you know, I get emails from people all the time saying, well, you know, I got on these drugs because I was doing poorly in school. And I suddenly didn't have any sex drive, but I also realized I didn't love my partner. And then they get off the drugs, and by then the partner's gone. gone, and they realize that the romantic love floods back, and they don't have the partner anymore.
Now, is it possible that this is a small price to pay to deal with the urgency of depression, which can lead people to ending their own lives if not treated?
Well, I think that we're not talking about those kinds of people. The problem is that people get on these drugs often for very good reasons, but then they stay on them when the depression is lifted, and nobody's told them that there could be complications. I mean, I think what the medical community has to realize is that when you jeopardize one large brain system, you're likely to jeopardize others. If they started to at least inform their patients that there could be some negative side effects to your feelings of romantic love and attachment.
So quickly before we go, better information on side effects for patients who get these drugs, and study what to help us answer which question here?
Well, I think we've got to start studying the impact of these of SSRIs, serotonin boosters, on all kinds of brain systems so that we get to the bottom of these complicated relationships.
Well, that's the manifesto going forward. Helen Fisher, professor of anthropology at Rutgers University, thanks so much for being
with us.
And I'm comfortably numb now. Talking about SSRIs and the implications for human activity, and I'm not going to fall in love with him, but I'm very happy he's here. Mark Garrison is here with the headlines.
My loss, I guess, coming up on 20 minutes before the hour, Israeli...